Saul Show. 5. Roll tape. 4. Cue Jerry. 3. Bring audio up. 2. Stand by. 1. Play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed his fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth his trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory. Transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on.
Good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host and I am so glad that you joined us this morning. We are broadcasting today from the Commons Coffee Shop over here on Broadway. And my guest I consider a good friend. He is the owner of Cascade Collections, Rob Robertson. And we're going to be talking over the next hour about collections. If you owe money, what's going to happen? If you are a business and you have people that owe you money, we'll take a look at that as well. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Terry. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's been, you and I have done this before about 100 years ago on another radio station, I think.
It was a few years ago.
Rob, tell me a little bit about how you got started. What is your background?
My background is very simple. I was born on a farm in Kansas. Joined the Marine Corps out of high school. Actually got persuaded to come to Oregon by a friend I met there, and I've been here ever since, except for a few years in Hawaii.
What took you to Hawaii?
My wife.
That'll do it.
She was from Kauai, and her family was ill, and we went to visit and stayed for 3 years.
Did you like Hawaii?
Oh, I loved it, but she told me we had to come back to Oregon.
Because it's a lot cooler over here, right?
Yes. Oh, it's beautiful weather.
Is it? All right, so you're back in Oregon. How did you get into the collection business?
Well, it was really strange. When I first came to Oregon, I worked in the mill, didn't like it. Worked in the woods, didn't like that. Finally, I got a job working for Coy Chevrolet in Independence, Oregon, and a guy came in every Saturday to have me wash his car, which made me mad, but I had to do it. One day he came in and he said, "Rob, you ought to be a bill collector." And I said, "I don't know what that even means." He said, "I want you to come over and fill out an application at the credit bureau." I said, "All right." So I went in, filled out an application at the credit bureau, and they hired me on the spot.
Is it because of your pleasant personality, you think, or what?
I think they needed somebody to work. It was actually fun. I learned a lot. I worked there 5 years. At the end of that 5 years, I quit because they wanted me to move to Atlanta, Georgia, and work for their big office.
And you'd never done this type of work before?
Never done anything like this. And it was a new job. It was a new beginning and a new education for me. But when I quit, I didn't have a job. So I went to work out in Lake Labiche, driving a tractor. A friend of mine came by one night and he said, "Rob, let's open a collection agency." And he had worked for credit bureau the same time I did as a salesman. And I said, "I'm sorry, there's no way I can do that. I'm broke. I have no money." He said, "Well, my dad will give us $10,000 and loan it to us. You want to do it?" And I said, "I don't know about that." He said, "Well, what time do you get off work?" And I said, "About 8 o'clock. He said, "Pick up a case of beer and come and visit me.
Make your decisions over a case of beer. Why not?"
Went to his house, we sit down, and I still have the piece of paper that I drew up that night of
really?
What the original cost would be. Lo and behold, we ended up saying, "Yeah, we're going to open a collection agency." The unfortunate part of all of that was that we had a covenant not to compete contract with the credit bureau, which prohibited us from working or opening a collection agency for 5 years.
Was that here in Salem?
Here in Salem.
Okay.
So we went to an attorney. Name was Tom Churchill. He's deceased now. A heck of a nice guy. Said, "Well, we want to sue him and see if we can get an okay to do this." We sued them. We lost. I called his associate, Ira Feitelson, and said, "Ira, I'm going to go ahead and open."
Why does that name sound familiar?
Oh, he's been around forever.
Okay.
And I said, "Ira, what happens if we go ahead and open?" And he said, "Well, they can come and close you down." I said, "Okay, what happens if I go ahead and open up the next day?" He said, "Well, they could put you in jail." I said, "Okay, final question. How long would it take you to get me out of jail?" He said, "I can have you out in 20 minutes. We opened the next day, March of 1970.
Okay, so you opened a collection agency. Had you ever done collections before? How did you know what you were doing?
Credit Bureau. I'd worked for Credit Bureau for 5 years.
In collections?
In collections,
okay.
Yes. It was different doing it for yourself than doing it for somebody else because you have to make a living. We didn't have a single account at the time. We finally went to a couple of taverns, got some bad check, went knocking on doors, collected some money. Things started off. It was just amazing to me.
Wow. And is that how they used to do it back in 1970? You just go knock on doors and say, "Hey, you owe this person some money. Can we get the money?"
Only people that were dumb, as I was, would do that. And today, nobody does it, I don't think.
Right.
But yes, I knocked on a lot of doors. Then we started getting some new business, and things got better.
Now, did you open it as Cascade Collections?
Yes.
So
yes.
It's always been Cascade Collections?
Has always been Cascade.
Are you still partners with this gentleman?
No, he's deceased.
So you're it.
I'm the sole proprietor, owner, and I have all the stock.
Now, how many employees do you have working for you at Cascade Collections?
At the present time, when they're all there, we have between 20 and 22.
Really?
Yes.
Are they all collectors?
No. We have what we call a small claims department. I have 3 people working there. We have a staff of 7 collectors. I have a staff of 2 managers. My daughter, who manages the collections, Sharina, who manages the office, and we have 3 people up front who do all of the clerical stuff, and we also have 2 salespeople. they seem to be doing a really good job right now.
What do you need salespeople for? What do you sell?
We sell something called pre-collect. Pre-collect is a two-notice series which we mail out on behalf of our client when they choose to use this. And it gives the customer, debtor if you will, an opportunity to deal directly with them and not a collection agency. We charge $6, which costs us probably $12. If they don't pay that in the 30 days that they're given to do it, then it goes into regular collections. The new laws all start to play. We have a number of different laws that we have to follow, both state and federal. First law is that once we take an account and it's assigned, because Oregon is an assignment state, we have an obligation to send the first notice, which gives them the opportunity of disputing the debt within 30 days, and then we have to provide some information about the debt itself. If in that 30-day period, the person who owes the money contacts the client, makes arrangements with them, and cancels the account, we're done. They get the money that they've collected, and we're all finished.
And you get your $6?
You get my $6, yes.
Well, you know, you're not going to pay the light bill, the $6 bill.
No, but what it is a service that I think helps them realize a collection agency sends you two notices saying you owe a bill, and you ignore it. I think that ought to tell the client that they're doing the right thing. They had no intention of paying or wasn't in a capability of doing it at that time. The other thing that I think is important is that if they do it early on and not wait and hold on to the bad debt, their likelihood of recovery is much better early on. I think the other thing that is important for all clients, I don't care whether we're talking about big business or little business, pay attention to what's on the books. If you have a couple of $1,000 that's owed to you for services that you've rendered or goods that you've sold, it's time that you've done something about trying to recover that money. You're entitled to it. The person who owes it should be willing to pay it. Mm-hmm. That's what our job really is.
When I was doing some of the research for this interview, I had the opportunity to sit in with some of your collectors. I was real surprised, Rob, that your collectors are real, it seems like, compassionate, and they're not hardcore driven, come pay us or Guido's going to break your kneecaps. And I noticed I've known you for, like I say, many years, and you've even seemed to mellow over the years. Do you encourage that for your collectors, just to treat people with respect? Because that's exactly what they were doing when I sat in there that afternoon.
Yes, I think, Terry, one of the main aspects of collections today, we have to treat people the way we would like to be treated in the same situation. Yes, we teach our staff to be understanding, compassionate, and try to work with whoever owes the money to get them to pay it.
The old days of threatening, and there are still some collectors out there that will threaten you, and they'll throw all kinds of things. We're going to come take your firstborn, but I didn't hear that coming out of Cascade.
No, we do not do that. We teach, and we want people to understand we're there to try and help them. And the only way we can do that is to talk to them intelligently, sympathetically in some cases. If they have a problem, we do have the process of sitting down and talking and maybe working out a program with them.
When you say working out a program with them, if they say, hey, I can't pay this $1,000 I owe right now, can I give you X amount of dollars this month and X amount? Do you have that capability? You can work with them?
You bet. We do it every day. It's a process of how did they get in this situation in the first place? It could have been a divorce. It could have been a death in the family. It could have been an accident.
Medical issues, yes.
Yes, you never know. So once you understand that about the individual, then you could sit down and say, okay, what can you really afford to pay? And can we work something out?
When we come back, we want to talk a little bit about the collection association and maybe some of the rules and some of the laws that you have out there. And then also a little bit later on, we want to talk about businesses and how you can help businesses out there that people do owe them money.
Look forward to it, Terry.
All right. We are broadcasting from the Commons, the Broadway Commons here on Broadway. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest, Rob Roberson from Cascade Collections. I know what I'm trying to say. And a little bit later on, we'll give you a phone number for Cascade Collections, too, if you would like to get in touch with them to help them help you with your business. You're listening to the Terry Soil Show on KSLM AM and FM. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
This is John Tesh. He's not quite normal. Okay, he's downright strange, but he is my buddy. Terry Soul, Soltissimo, with his odd sense of humor. You gotta love this guy.
In 5, 4, cue Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
It is a Saturday morning, but you already knew that. Welcome back to the Terry Saul Show. Our guest today is Rob Robertson from Cascade Collections, and we're talking about collections. Talking about what happens if you owe the money, you don't want to see Rob come banging on your door. Not that he's going to go banging on your door anyhow. Those days are done, right?
They're over.
We're going to talk a little bit about the Credit Bureau on this segment. Now, do you report to the Credit Bureau?
Yes, we do. We report probably every month. We have to hold the account for at least 60 days, giving them a chance to have it cleared up. And we tell them, when we first talk to them, if you pay this within the first 30 days, it will not appear on your credit bureau file. And that's important for a lot of people.
If they pay it 100% in full, or yes. If they at least start making payments?
No, if they pay it in full, it does not appear on there.
Okay.
If they make arrangements to pay, once it is paid, we will let the credit bureau know that it is paid, and it will show as a paid account. Problem with that is most people don't realize today may be a bad day for them financially, but down the road, they may need to have a better credit score so they can buy a car or buy a new home. And it's important to look at that on a continuous basis. Mm-hmm. And we try to teach that and get them to understand that.
Okay, so how does a person go about cleaning up their credit?
I think the first step, Terry, is to consider how long have I been in this situation, what can I do, and how long is it going to take me to get this taken care of, and how quickly will that score increase? I think the highest score now is around 800. Most people who are in collections, for the most part, are somewhere in the 600 to 650 bracket or less, depending on how much debt they have. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act tells us some of the things that we have to do. We have HIPAA, which deals with medical accounts. We have TCPA, which is Telephone Communication Practices Act. All of those things enter into what we can and cannot do, should and shouldn't do. And we try to comply with all of those laws.
I'm not following you. So are you saying that if it's a medical account, it's you treat it differently as in a utility account?
We have to do things differently in the respect that the law tells us what you can and can't do with a medical account, as opposed to, say, a bad check that comes into us. They're two different kinds of accounts, and we treat them differently because we know the difference between them. You write a bad check, and you probably didn't intend to, but you did. If you're sick and you go see a doctor, you know you're going to have a bill to pay. They're a separate entity in and of themselves. And I think, for the most part, all of my collectors understand we deal with a number of different clients and different types of businesses, so you have to treat them differently in each respect. I'll give you a good example. Years ago, I did repossessions for a bank down in California.
Well, that can't be too healthy.
Well, I don't do it anymore, obviously. But I remember going up above Detroit, and I thought, you know, while I'm up here, I might as well talk to some clients, see if I can get some business. You don't put a suit and tie on in Detroit and talk to them about business. And I had to learn that the hard way. Doing repossessions was a thing, for me, is a thing of the past. I wouldn't do it again. But it taught me something. people have very different kinds of needs. Their needs are, I need this truck to get me to work. I need this car because I have to take my mom and dad to the hospital. But they need the car, but if they're not making payments on it, it can be repossessed. Most of the time, in those days and in today's day, if you go in and talk to them and say, look, I have permission to repo your car. Is there something we can do so that I don't have to do that? It's the same thing with collecting debts.
Back to the repo, you can actually work a deal with them out there on the at their driveway?
If they want to make a deal and they'll come in and talk to us, we'll talk to whoever they owe the money to and
really?
Say, here's what they can do. Are you willing to go along with that? If they are, then they can keep the car as long as they keep making the payments that have been set up for them. It's no different than making payments in an office for a debt that you owe to a medical client. You owe $1,000 and you want to pay $50 a month, it's going to take a while. But you have other debts that you also owe, so you've got to take that into consideration. What can you really afford to do and do every month? Because that's how quick you're going to get your bill paid. I think most people understand from what they've heard, what they've read, what they've seen, collection agencies are bad guys. And there are some bad ones. There are some people in our industry that should be shut down, and some of them have been. Not Cascade Collections. We do not operate that way. I've had to tell clients, I'm sorry, I can't handle that for you. That's not the kind of account I want, and I can't do what you want me to do because it's against the law to do it.
So if somebody owes $1,000 and they come back to you and say, well, Rob, I can't pay the $1,000 right now. I can give you some money, but then they try to say, well, I'll give you $5 a month. Well, that's going to take forever to pay that off. Do you have the right to say, well, you know what? No, you got to give us a little bit more than that.
Yes.
Can you do that?
Yes, we can.
Do you do that?
The quickest way around that is to say, look, I understand you can only pay $5 a month. Prove it. Bring your information in to me. Let's see what we can work out. In many cases, I have helped people reduce their debt tens of thousands of dollars.
Really?
I'll just give you an example. A guy and his wife came in, spent about 4 years ago. They had four credit cards, B of A, and they owed about $35,000, as I recall. They didn't have the money to make it. They had closed their business. I made some calls. I finally got that bill for all four of them down to $10,000. They borrowed the money from their dad, and all of it was cleaned up. It's fun to do those kind of things.
Now, does that go on their credit report, though, that they didn't pay the $35,000, that it was settled for $10,000?
No, it goes on there as the account is paid or settled in full.
How long does it take to start building your credit back up?
Depends on how far behind you are. For the most case, you can do that from the very start. You've got to make a decision. Do I want to build my credit up, or do I care?
We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about some of the rules and regulations as well as the laws. Again, we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with Rob Robertson from Cascade Collection.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM.
We are back. This is Terry Saul's Saturday morning show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM, AM and FM. I am your grateful host, and I am so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's special guest is Rob Robertson from Cascade Collections. Now, let's talk a little bit about when somebody comes up to you. Let's just say a business comes up to you. Salem Hospital comes up to you. They say, hey, Rob, we have John Smith that owes us $2,000. You've made the attempts to get a hold of John Smith. At that point, John is either ignoring you or giving you false promises and stuff. What's the next step? What do you do after that?
Terry, let's back up. Number one, most of the clients that I represent, and we've got about 500 to 600 clients, they don't all assign every month. When they do, one of the biggest problems we run into is mail returns. We probably get, and I'm guessing when I say this, 5 to 10% mail returns off of every bunch of accounts that we get.
That high?
Yes. It's amazing that our clients don't realize they've sent the bill out. They didn't put on the envelope forward. They didn't do anything other than just send the bill, and they got it back, realizing that now their client has moved and they don't have an address. And if they do, it's time to do something about it. We represent almost every kind of client you can imagine. But I got to tell you a funny story before I go any further. Years ago when I first started, we were out in the Sunny Slope Shopping Center, a small office. There were three of us. And we shared a bathroom down the hall with some people that were next door to us, which was a massage parlor. And it was kind of odd. We'd see people go in and out and didn't pay too much attention. And in those days, I was working nights in the cannery and doing collections whenever I could. One night I was working late. I finally had to go to the restroom. I went out in the hall and this guy came out of the restroom and I didn't think too much of it, except I recognized him as being an attorney. I went back in and finished my work, went home. To this day, when he sees me on the street, he'll walk around and not have to come and see me. It's amazing to me, Terry, that most people, I believe, think that collection agencies are capable of doing anything, and it's not true. The capabilities are subject to the amount of information that the client passes on to the collector. Do you have a phone number? Do you have a good address? Do you know where they work? Are they married? Are they single? Do they have children? How long have they been there? How long have they owed the debt? When was the last payment that you received from them? Do you charge interest? If you do, do you have something in writing that gives you permission to do that? All of these things go into making up what our collectors need to have in front of them.
Like a profile.
To do the job. For the most part, we haven't had much of a problem. We've had a couple of break-ins. Mostly they were because somebody was loaded, didn't know what they were doing. They didn't steal anything. They just broke the window, climbed in. Police showed up and
looking for a place to stay warm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Again, getting back to this, and now you've been trying to get a hold of John and Mary Smith for a month or two. At what point do you take it the next step and file the small claims case against them?
Only in the case where the person is gainfully employed or has an income that we can verify and they refuse to pay. And it's not a disputed claim. They haven't disputed that they owe it. Yes, we will take it to small claims and file the suit, get them served.
So you take it to small claims. Is there a limit on what you can go after in small claims?
Up to $10,000.
Okay, up to $10,000. So if you owe $8,000, you go to small claims, and then it comes back. Then what do you do with that paper? You mail that out, or you have a process server? What exactly is it you do?
You know, let me back up. I'm not sure I'm giving you the correct amount. I can't remember what the amount is for small claims. But yes, we take it to small claims. We have somebody serve the papers. They have 30 days to respond. I know that's correct. If they don't respond, we request what we call a default judgment, which means we now have a judgment against them for the amount of the debt plus the filing fee and the service fee that we're charged.
So the filing fee is, I mean, when you file a small claims, you have to pay for it to file that.
Yes, we do.
So it could be anywhere from X amount of dollars to have it served by a process server. You got to pay for that too.
Yes, we do.
So you can charge that back to the client, or not the client, but the person that owes the debt?
Exactly. We can.
Okay. Let's address the process server a little bit now. From talking to your process server, I understand that they will say that a lot of people try to say, I don't accept it, and then that's it. Well, that's not the case, is it?
No, it's not.
It doesn't quite work that simple.
No, it does not. I think one of the things that people misunderstand is you're going to get served. If you don't want to do it the easy way by accepting the papers at the front door or at your office or your business, there is another way to do it. It's a long way, but it can be done by publication. We don't do that very often, but it can be done. By and large, if you accept the papers and you do something about it, again, Cascade Collections will come to a mediation at the courthouse and we'll sit down and see if we can work something out in the way of payments. Either way, it's a benefit for everyone. It takes away the grief, the overhead. Pretty soon, you've got it taken care of. And that's the main objective for getting the debt done.
Mm-hmm. What type of clients do you have? What do you have?
Medical, dental, doctors, dentists, psychiatrists, psychologists, attorneys, retail, wholesale.
Just everyday business.
Everyday business. Most of our clientele are small. We do not represent any big companies particularly. We have in the past, but they expect more than what a small agency like mine can do. They want us to travel to New York City. I'm not going to travel to New York City for a $3,000 account. If you want me to go on vacation, I'll go back and talk to them about that.
Are there any guidelines on do you have to stay just in the city, or the, not the city limits of Salem, but in Oregon? Or can you go outside of Oregon? Can you go into Washington or Idaho, California?
There are laws that prohibit us from calling certain states because we're not licensed there. We're not licensed in any other state other than Oregon. There are other states that we can call and not have a problem. Some agencies are licensed in every state that there is. I think the main thing that I just realized not too long ago, I have a local client who does international work, and I finally asked him, I said, what do you do with your bad debt if they're in Japan or, you know, somewhere else? Well, we don't know. Nothing we can do. And I said, well, I can. I can send accounts anywhere in the free world. And we have. Another sad story, but a funny one. A local client gave me an account for collection. It's been a number of years ago. He had sold a car. Guy didn't pay for it. He ended up going to Iceland, and he took the car with him. We still don't know how he got the car to Iceland. The long and short of it
was... That North Bridge.
Yeah. We finally got a hold of an attorney in Iceland. He said, send me the account. I can collect it. We got 100% of the money back because...
Really?
The law in Iceland is you pay for everything if you owe it.
Wow.
And the local client was amazed, number one, that we even found the car, let alone got his money.
Now, you mentioned you have to have a license. What type of license do you have to have?
We're licensed by the state of Oregon.
As a collection agency?
As a collection agency, yes.
Okay. Now, do each one of your collectors have to have some type of certification or license or anything?
No, but they have to be on record with the state of Oregon.
Okay.
Their names have to be given to them when they start. And we do that.
Do you ever get a lot of repeat customers? Do you have maybe somebody will call up and say, hey, Rob, John Smith, one more time. Here we go again. Do you get a lot of repeat customers?
Not as many as I would anticipate. I think the number one thing that I see, which bothers me, I'm collecting from third generation kids now. So the parents were in debt. We helped them get out of debt. They raised their kids. Their kids got behind. We helped them. And now their kids. Well, I've been doing this for 50 years, so I know some of these people over and over and over again. And it's sad. Education is the key, and it's something that everybody talks about, but it isn't being taken care of. We need better education for our kids when it comes to taking care of their debts, taking care of their lives, paying their debts when they come due. Many kids that I talk to today.
What about divorce? Is divorce a nightmare?
Yes.
I know it is for me.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, if you have John and Mary Smith and all of a sudden they get married and Mary says, well, that's not my bill, that's John's. And John says, that's not my bill, it's Mary's. Do you have to deal with that a lot?
Happens all the time. Fortunately, depending on if they signed individually as husband and wife, we can go after either or both. If it's a medical bill, even if they're not together, both husband and wife are responsible, and we can go after either one of them.
On our next segment, we're going to talk about the association and some of the different stats that you brought in with us, because it's just astounding. So we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM.
Hey, this is Terry Soul, Saltissimo. You know, we've been doing these Saturday shows now for several weeks, and we're having a ball. But you know what? We're just getting started. Coming up next week, we'll be talking with Clint Holland, who is the founder of the Kaiser Rapids Park, the amphitheater up there in Kaiser. We'll be talking about some of his lineup this coming summer. It's going to be an incredible lineup he has coming. Also coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking with my buddy, Kent McCord. Does that name ring a bell to you? He played Officer Jim Reed on the Adam 12 television show back in the late 60s and early 70s. Kent McCord, and he's going to be chatting with us. Can't wait. Also, recording artist and my good friend, Patrick Lamb, who just got back from a Around the World Tour with Gino Vannelli. Patrick Lamb will be performing up here in the Northwest, and we'll be chatting with him in the coming weeks. Also, an exciting interview with Jerry Seltzer. Does that name ring a bell? Jerry Seltzer ran the original roller derby back in the 50s, 60s, and into the 70s. And we'll talk about all of the stars of the original roller derby. You know, Joan Weston, Charlie O'Connell, and Cal Vella. Yes, we're going to talk about them all. We'll also be having a visit from my good friend, comedian Louis Anderson. I had the privilege of opening for Louis Anderson many times in Las Vegas. He's a funny, funny man, and we'll be chatting with him. We'll also be talking with Brady Goss. If you've never seen Brady Goss or heard Brady Goss, nobody can play the keyboards like this guy can do. Those are just some of the guests coming up in the next several weeks here on the Terry Saul Saturday Morning Show. I hope you'll be here each and every week at 10 o'clock right here on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM.
This is Donnie, and I gotta say, Terry Saul is the coolest guy I have ever met. Really, he's not the coolest guy in the world. He just told me to say that.
Welcome back to our final few minutes this morning. I am Terry Saul. Our guest this morning has been Rob Robertson from Cascade Collections, and we are talking about what happens if you don't pay your bill, or if you have a business and somebody else has not paid their bill, what you can and can't do. At the very end of this, we will be giving out a phone number for Cascade Collections so you can give them a holler. Rob, what is the Oregon Collectors Association? What is that?
Oregon Collectors Association has been in existence for years and years and years. All of the agencies in Oregon will normally belong to American Collectors Association International and Oregon Collectors Association.
Okay.
The purpose is to get together to try to figure out what's best for our clients, to learn new laws, to learn new ways of approaching debtors who owe money.
Are there really that many laws that you have to follow?
There are quite a few. But more importantly, it's a way of sharing information about how to find somebody who you can't find. The association is really, they've done a lot of good in Oregon. I was a past president, still am a past president, honorary life member now, and my daughter, Lori, is now the new president of Oregon Collectors Association. We just went to a meeting a couple of weeks ago and she was installed. I think by and large, over the years, they have done a really good job of helping one another to understand what the industry is about and how to make it better.
Do you guys have a large database, maybe with other collection agencies? If you're looking for John and Mary Smith and you've been looking and looking and looking, you can't find them, will you call around other places maybe, other collection agencies, or is there somebody that you can contact to find out how to get a hold of John and Mary Smith?
We have many programs that we use to try to track people down. If we find out that they are in Japan, I met a guy who owns an agency in Japan.
And sure you did.
I might call him and say, hey, I've got an account. Can you take a look at this for me? We'll forward the account to him, and we'll pay him a forwarding fee if he collects it. That makes our client happy, makes us happy, and that's what the association is all about.
Okay, so how do you get paid? How does Cascade get paid? If let's stay with the Salem Hospital, they have a client or a patient, I should say, that owes them $5,000. You collect the $5,000. Do you get a percentage of that money? How does it work?
Yes, commission is paid on whatever the agreement is between the client and the collection agency. It can vary to... We've got some collection agencies now, crazy as it seems, that do it for 15%. They collect $1,000, they get 15% of that amount.
Is that the normal fee?
No, the normal fee used to be 50 when I started.
Okay.
It's now around 30 to 40%.
Okay. Is that based on the money that is collected? If you don't collect, you don't get?
No, if you don't collect, you don't make any money.
Okay.
So it depends on how much time you're going to spend on an account. Are you going to make any money or are you losing money? And sometimes you have to tell the client the truth. I can't spend any more time on this because I can't find that person. And you have to give up.
Now, what are some of the, I don't want to reveal some of the tricks, but what are some of the ways that you have to look for somebody? If you believe they're still in the area or in the Willamette Valley or the county, what do you do? Do you have a database that you refer to? Can you go on and look through public records, or what can you look through?
We have public records we can look through, DMV. We have a program that we use and we pay monthly for. They have a lot of information about the people that we're looking for, because it's all combined into one group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty helpful. We also use Facebook. We also use Google. We also use some other things that I'm not going to mention to
you. Right, sure.
Because they cost money, and my competitors probably wouldn't want to know that I'm using that.
Is there a lot of competition out there to collect these debts?
Well, the competition is getting more fierce all the time. I'll give an example of something that it irritates me to no end. We have local clients here in Salem who have bad debt. They send their clients or their debtors to another agency in another state. So the money that's collected for them and the people who receive the benefit of getting the money collected is spent in that state. Nothing here is spent. My employees spend their money here. The employees in New York City or Chicago spend their money there, not here. We have clients that send their accounts to Portland. So the people who are paid to do the work up there spend the money in Portland.
Yeah.
None of it stays here. I won't tell you the names of some of them.
Nope. I don't need to get beat up. All right. You've got some interesting statistics here with our final 4 minutes that you wanted to cover here. What do you got?
You know, Terry, this is really an interesting thing. I just got this recently. The amount of money that's recovered by collection agencies, this is in a survey that was just finished in 2017, the amount that was recovered was approximately $78.5 billion.
Get out of here.
Now, that's nationwide. Understand.
Sure. Wow.
That was the total debt in 2016. Subtracting commissions and fees, because the agency gets paid, it got down to $67.6 billion. And this is both large and small clients who use a service of a collection agency. I think one of the biggest things, though, is how does this affect our local economy? Probably, and this is a guess, because the association doesn't know this, was done by a firm. This saves the average person about $579 in what they spend, because the money comes in and the rates don't go up because they lost so much money. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Third-party debt collectors employ about 129,600 people. That's quite a few people working.
Yeah.
That's in support of the other 89,000 that we use for something else. Overall, third-party debt collections maintains a payroll of $12.6 billion.
Wow.
So we're putting money into the economy by hiring people and keeping them employed. The third-party collection agencies and their employees pay about $1.5 billion in taxes.
That's amazing.
In federal, state, and local taxes.
That's amazing. We're getting a little bit low on time here, so I did want to cover this last little bit. What is the goal for Cascade Collections? What is your goal, Rob?
I want to maintain a good working relationship with our clients. I want our staff to understand that they are what keeps us afloat. I want our staff to be comfortable in what they're doing, and I want them to be prepared for the next set of laws that may come about. More importantly, I want people to be happy. I want my clients to be happy with us. I want them to know that we're doing the very best job we can. And I want the people in my office to know that our clients are our bread and butter. We have to do everything we can to keep them happy.
The phone number for Cascade Collections is 503-364-0455. That's 503-364-0455. Give them a call down there. If you are a business and you have some people that owe you some money, they will take care of it. Is there anybody specific that they should ask for, Rob, or if they just give you a call? And
if they just call and say what they need, they can be directed to the right person. We have two salespeople. They're normally out of the field. They can ask for myself, or they can ask for Sharina or Lori.
You still get out there and handle clients, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Rob Robertson from Cascade Collections has been our guest. Again, the phone number 503-364-0455. That's going to wrap it up for us today. We'll be back next week and do this all over again. Have a great and safe weekend.
If you would like us to come to your business for a broadcast, drop us a line at terry@1220.am or catch me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Terry Saul. A big thank you to our special guest, and we will be back next week and do this all over again at 10 a.m. on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Have a great and safe week. Today's show was produced by Leon J. Tacky, and it goes without saying this has been a Tacky production.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks. And we're off. Thanks, everybody.